This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning and happy hump day to ya. It's a Wednesday, December 19th. I'm Tan Chung Han and with me, Joyce Goh. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning, Han.
All right, so plenty of developments in the world overnight, not just here in Malaysia, but also overseas. Two issues that are particularly pertinent to me.
Yeah.
Firstly, on the local front, you got Zahid Hamidi stepping aside as UMNO president, and we'll get more into those details later on in the show, but his face is plastered across many a front page in today's local dailies. So that's one issue that we'll be focusing on all throughout the morning. Morning. And then also, on a more personal note, Jose Mourinho.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
Stepping down, being asked to leave at as the manager of Manchester United. So now questions abound about who's going to take over as the caretaker manager for Manchester United.
Who would you like it to be?
Well, I would like it to be Zinedine Zidane on the more permanent basis. But then there's some really interesting names that have come up in terms of trying to guide United through the rest of the season, including Michael Carrick. He's a popular midfielder. And also Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the super sub from the very famous treble winning side for Manchester United. I really hope to see him in the dugout. That'd be a whole lot of fun. Just makes me wish I'd gone to the UK during later as opposed
just a couple of weeks ago. So actually, what's going on with Manchester United?
Do you have 2 hours for me to talk about? No.
So I know they've not been performing.
Yeah, so long story short, they have not been performing. They have been struggling in this post Sir Alex Ferguson era.
Just big shoes to fill.
Big shoes to fill, indeed. And the shadow of Sir Alex Ferguson still hovers over the place. Now, how do you live up to the kind of expectations that are being placed on, you know, whoever the manager will be, you know, moving forward? So we'll wait and see. But that's on a more personal note. All right, Joyce, what else are we going to discuss for the rest of this hour?
There's news that Nurul Izzah was out, spotted having tea with Rafizi and KJ in Bangsa.
Yeah,
I know, right? So this is the second time they've been seen together. At first it was lunch, so now it's having tea. We're not sure what's brewing there, but we'll definitely be talking more about it later on in the show.
Very good. I like what you said there. What's brewing there? Very nice. Well done.
I learned from the best. One pun hunt.
Now, also, we'll consider the gap between our perceptions and what's happening there in reality. There's a survey that came out which shows that Malaysians are one of the worst in the world when it comes to misjudging a certain phenomenon in society. So we'll get more into those details in just a bit. And then in just a bit, we'll also talk about the internet, or rather the pre-internet era.
We're going to talk about what it feels like to be the last generation to remember life before internet. What was it like before internet? I do remember that.
Right.
I'm that old.
So, have your stories already and feel free to share it with us. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. It's 4 minutes past 6 a.m. right now. Stay tuned to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Nina Simone with I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free. Well, this is Malaysia Baru, so as you hear on BFM's programming, just take a breath, right? Just breathe and soak it all in. This is The Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han. With me, Joyce Goh. Folks, you can be part of this conversation. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, I dare assume that, you listening right now, we are of, I was about to say we are of the older kin, but then again, I'm not that old. I'm an 80s baby, but at least old enough to know the a time before the internet, right? And that's what we're going to try and discuss today, because the last generation to remember life before the internet, Joyce, you and I, we were a part of that generation, right? Mm-hmm. But then, here we are in 2018 on the cusp of 2019, and perhaps it's time to take stock of what's happened over the last couple of decades with the internet. Are we happier? What are the opportunity costs? Or, you know, really, are we just looking back with rose-tinted glasses?
Yeah, and I guess the question also whether or not, you know, internet has made our lives better or worse. You know, I personally feel, I mean, yeah, I remember what's it like to sit in front of the TV waiting for my favorite cartoon to come on at 5:30. Mm. You know, it's very different from right now when I see my kids. Everything's like now. Like, oh, I want to watch Paw Patrol. And then they'll just put it on, you know? So it's very instant. It's instant, would you say instant gratification?
Yeah.
It's very different from having to wait for. And if you miss it, I remember I used to nap as well. And sometimes I nap and I miss the cartoon. I'll be so upset.
Right. So, yeah, delayed gratification, right? Mm-hmm. That is a, I wouldn't say a skill, but, you know, it's one of those features in people that perhaps is slowly eroding over time, right? And mm-hmm. that actually can feed into many other lifestyle choices, you know, including your personal finances as well. Right, so I think delayed gratification, that's one of the things that may be falling by the wayside due to the internet. Now, on one hand, I appreciate, you know, say the instantaneous access to information, right? Research, you know, we are in the news industry, so we get updates all the time.
Yeah.
But there comes a point where it just becomes overwhelming, right? Mm. And that separation between work and the rest of your life,
right.
You know, it does get blurred, right? And I think that's one of the things that we are giving up. Now, on one hand, some might say that, well, because of that instant communication, because of the internet, you then can really enhance your social life. You can make more plans. You can go really meet up with people. But then there's also this other narrative on the other side of the coin whereby the quality of those relationships have deteriorated as well. Because, yeah, you're communicating constantly via WhatsApp, you know, Facebook, you know, any social media. But the quality of those conversations, the quality of those relationships haven't really grown, you know, in tandem with the speeds by which we are having those communications, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's whether or not you may have more friends, like maybe 500 friends on Facebook, but whether or not they are real friends, like true friends, do they really know what's going on in your life? So just seeing the feed that's on your Facebook, do they really want to know? Mm. You know, whether or not that yeah, that's one thing. And also, I think internet, whether or not it has made our lives better or worse, I agree with you, Han, that, you know, the line for when it comes to work and not work has blurred. But I feel the internet helped a lot when it comes to our line of work. I remember a senior telling me that they had to go wait at Bursa for the announcements and, you
That's
know,
right.
them having to go to the payphones to call back, to make the call and tell and inform back to the office this was the news of the day. It's so different from right now where we can do work so much quicker and faster.
Right. And it's also, you know, whether or not the lens that we're using is the appropriate lens, you know, whereby perhaps we often frame it as, oh, the internet has made our lives worse, or the internet, the pre-internet days were better. But instead, this article on Quartz.com or QZ.com actually speaks about how the technology or the internet is really amoral, right? So technology is neither good nor evil. Mm. The most we can say about it is this: it has come. So really the onus and the responsibility is really on us, right? On how to manage the use of such technology. You can still set up boundaries. You can still foster those quality relationships, you know, aided by technology. But ultimately, it's down to your personal experience and how you actually go about using the internet, right? I think that is the X factor. Granted, that's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah.
You know, it is idealistic. But I think, you know, that I think that is the way we should frame things.
Yeah, definitely. I think another thing that the internet has brought about is, for me, I feel, is addiction compared to previous days when there was no internet. So I think for me, so it's quite scary because you see young kids, right? They're so, I mean, just to keep them quiet, sometimes, you know, you pull out the iPad. Mm. That's convenient, but whether or not that is fueling an addiction.
Right.
You know, that's also something that, I mean, me and myself, I have conversations with my mommy friends is limiting screen time.
Right. Well, I think, you know, we were just addicted to different things in the pre-internet days.
Yeah.
But, you know, let us know what you think. 018-789-8899. What do you miss most about the pre-internet days? What are the opportunity costs now, given the, you know, the tremendously fast speeds that we're accessing information and having all these so-called social connections? Now, what are we missing? missing out on here? And ultimately, are we happier now because of the internet? Our WhatsApp number, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Kind of ironic because we're having people WhatsApp and tweet us using the internet. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back with more right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 Garbage there with Run Baby Run. This is The Morning Run here on BFM 89.9. Han and Joyce keeping you company all the way till 10 a.m. this morning. Happy Hump Day. It's a Wednesday, December 19th, 22 minutes past 6 a.m. right now. And folks, you can always be part of our conversation all morning long. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Before the song, we asked the question, what do you miss most about the pre-internet days? We've had a couple of comments coming in via WhatsApp and Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter we have Chip saying, you know, he misses going to a library and looking for books, or going through encyclopedias, or simply talking to people who want to know the direction.
Yeah, that's right.
I still do though. I still go up to people, excuse me, but, when traveling.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this though, you know, Google Maps while you're traveling, you know, as a tourist, it is a lifesaver.
You're like my husband. So he was on the Google Map. Yeah. Recently, we were on a trip with the family, right? Last month, he was on the Google Map, and I'm going up to people asking, excuse me. And then our kids are like wondering, what's happening? Why mommy and daddy are so different?
Yeah. You know, just use the tech, you know, to your advantage. Well, you've got Zulakmar has one who tweeted in also saying that he misses IRC and ICQ. I do miss that as well. Mm. And I think it's about the perceptions you have of the person on the other side of the screen or the other side of the line, right? And you think, wow, this person really gets me. I found my soulmate. And all you have is just that one colorful, you know, name. Yeah. And I love the sounds.
Do you remember your nickname?
Oh, no, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember your nickname?
Kind of.
Yeah, really? Oh, do you want to reveal it? I mean, you went there. Let's go, Joyce. You know, what was it?
I was Juliet J.
Why are you Juliet?
Because Romeo Juliet.
Oh, my
I like
word.
That. And then J, you know, Joyce J.
All these, you know, fake names and all these fake personalities.
Were you Han Tan? You can't remember.
One pan. Then on WhatsApp, we've got Raro weighing in saying that, he's still experiencing delayed gratification, you know, if you're married long enough. Well, that was a joke about marriage there. But, you know, the worst part is, you know, just ignoring people through gadget addiction. You know? So there's a bit of a catch rate too there. Mm-hmm. And then also, we've got Chia who messaged in saying that, well, he used to wait for Sundays, 5 p.m. on Sundays for the Thundercats, but right now he still waits for 5 p.m. on Sundays because it's the TED radio hour. So how about that?
Yeah, Thundercats was a great cartoon. Lionel and Chitara.
Yeah. Someone obviously is clearly living in the past here. But anyways, you can be part of the conversation, 018-789-8899. That's our WhatsApp number, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, moving on to another story for this morning, Joyce. There's this survey by Ipsos whereby, you know, Malaysians are found to be quite bad at estimating things accurately, all right? So Malaysians are among the least accurate in terms of overestimating, you know, things like unemployment and also other economic and social phenomenon, right? And so given this study by Ipsos Malaysia titled The Perils of Perception 2018, really makes me wonder, right? You know, why is it that Malaysians in particular, as evidenced by this survey, you know, why is it this disconnect between perception and reality is far more pronounced in the Malaysian context compared to, you know, other countries?
Do you think it's because we want to just, you know, be ready in case, you know, anything like you don't... In case you're let go from the job and all that, you just be ready and think. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. And then, you know,
like a coping mechanism.
Yeah, and also, you know, some of us still remember what it was like during, you know, 1998 and all that. You know, so it's kind of like trying to not be too positive. Right. I don't know. I mean, that's just a thought.
Okay, well, but that's on perhaps on the employment front, right?
The employment front,
Just to give you guys some findings from this Perils of Perception 2018 study published by Ipsos Malaysia. So that Malaysians estimate that half of Malaysia is unemployed and looking for work. When we know that the unemployment rate, at least the official figures out of the Department of Statistics Malaysia, is about 3+%, right? So there's this, you know, 46 percentage point gap between perception and reality. Now, it's not just employment. It's also, say, the share of renewable energy in the overall energy mix here in Malaysia. So the reality is that it's in the low single digits, but, you know, Malaysians think that it's about 39%. So they think that renewable energy makes up, you know, close to 40% of the total energy mix. Global average, 8%.
Okay,
right?
So estimates are really a bit off.
Way off, right? Now, okay. Now, this is interesting because it's our perceptions that, that then drive, you know, what we voice out against, what we pressure on. Mm-hmm. And then that ultimately, theoretically speaking, feeds into policymakers. And then policymakers have to respond to such pressures, right? So it could be red herrings. They could be misplaced. But, you know, ultimately, that appears to be the process by which, you know, policies are formed, right? At least how policymakers view the landscape as to what's important to us.
Mm-hmm.
But if at the grassroots level we are getting those perceptions wrong to begin with, you know, that could set Malaysia on a very dangerous path, right? So I think this is something that is quite timely, right? Quite timely, especially, you know, we are yet to hit 1 year into Malaysia Baru. You know, we are still trying to form this Malaysian agenda, so to speak. You know, so yeah, I think this is a very important disconnect to be aware of. Again, I point you guys to the Ipsos Malaysia Perils of Perception 2018 study that was published just yesterday. But you can be part of the conversation, 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Sabrina Magdalene is poised at the mic for the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin. So stay tuned right here to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Gotta wait for that grand finale at the end there. Whoa! That was Billy Joel, but it's still rock and roll to me right here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me, Joyce Goh. And again, folks, can be part of the conversation, 018-789-8899. That's our WhatsApp number, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. We also had Chip, who, we were talking about earlier, what do we miss about the pre-internet days, and then Zul Akmar, who said that he misses IRC and ICQ. Then Chip weighed in saying that, well, that's how he met his wife, actually. You know, so all the stigma over Tinder and OkCupid and all these other dating apps, well, guess what? You know, it was this is just the latest iteration of what happened in the past. You know, ICQ, IRC, matchmaking possibilities as well. The ancestors to Tinder, I guess. All right, now let's move on real quick to some rather interesting developments on the political front. So you got Nurul Izzah, you got Rafizi Ramli, and you got Khairi Jamaluddin spotted having tea yet again. Now, this appears to be the second time that the same trio have met together to discuss God knows what. And, you know, it's certainly gotten tongues wagging here, right?
Yeah, I think you can see that, you know, also when Nurul Izzah announced her shocking resignation, I think you can see Rafizi and Khairi them tweeting, you know, that their support for her. And you can see that she has, you know, kind of, she took on their support well. And you can see that the trio has quite a good friendship going on. And it makes one wonder, with them meeting up this the second time, whether or not there's anything else brewing.
Yeah.
Whether there are plans for, are they planning something, or is it just a casual, you know, tea?
Yeah, well, so you got two PKR, MP, well, actually, no, one PKR MP and another PKR leader, and then one from UMNO, right? But I think the shared, the common thread that the three of them have is that they are, you know, politicians of the younger ilk, right? So it'd be interesting, I think, to see if these three can actually form a new political party.
Ooh.
Right? I think there are some thoughts being thrown out there. I don't know why not. It's 6:42 a.m. We can just kind of let our minds wander for a little bit. I mean, because look, it would make sense, right? Because there'll be a fresh approach to what could be a truly new Malaysia. Because now in this, post GE14 era, we are still having to contend with some legacy issues, you know, some old way of dealing
doing
with things. You know, some of the human, the reforms that we would like to see, well, that doesn't seem to be generating enough political will. So one wonders that there could be a cutoff point in terms of age whereby the younger politicians could breathe new life into these reform agendas. And I think that is one of the things that is being attributed to Nurul Izzah's resignation, right? She spoke about how she is, actually Rafizi said that she is an idealist. Yeah, she wants to stick to the reform spirit. And, you know, it appears that she is stepping down because of a dissatisfaction in terms of developments on the Pakatan Harapan front. So stuff happening on the broader coalition, but not PKR specific.
I can definitely see the appeal when it comes to, you know, a party being formed between Nurul Izzah, Rafizi and KJ. I can see the appeal. You know, when she announced her resignation, Nurul Izzah announced her resignation, Kari tweeted and says, you know, I'm sure once the country is finally ready for a generational change in politics, Nurul Izzah will be back.
Right. So, you know, very interesting. Well, but that means, okay, fine. I understand we are totally speculating here. Totally speculating. And then, you know, over on the opposition front, you know, within UMNO, you got KJ who's really challenging the current leadership. You got Zahid Hamidi who is being asked to step aside as the president. KJ is calling for fresh elections there. So, you know, if his attempts to reform UMNO from within comes to naught, then, you know, perhaps that could be impetus for him to step out and start a new political party.
But many people are also saying that KJ is quite an effective opposition.
Yeah,
he's one of the more effective ones, definitely.
Well, you know, so let us know what you think, right? You know, so if, okay, and this is pure speculation here, but, you know, just again, kind of indulge us here. If Nurul Izzah, Rafizi and KJ were to come out and start a new political party, what should be their new agenda or what should be their platform? You know, how are they going to set themselves apart from the current political offerings, you know, in terms of political parties out there? Let us know. 018-789-8899. That's our WhatsApp number, 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. It's now 6:45 a.m. and we'll be back with more right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was the Electric Light Orchestra with Showdown right here on The Morning Run. Thank you so much to Lee Shun who WhatsApped in commenting on, you know, this pure speculation about, you know, what would happen if Rafizi Ramli, Nurul Izzah and Kari Jamaluddin set up their own political party because they have been spotted, same trio, spotted meeting together out in public in recent weeks. And, you know, so what are they talking about? No, what could they be conspiring, if I can use that word? No, could they be trying to set up a new political party, right? So we've got Lee Shun WhatsApping in saying that, well, he's interested to know how the trio plan to fund their party because the love of money is a root of all evil and old guard politics. I think that's quite important, right? Whether or not the young wave can actually, you know, go out, strike out there and garner enough support, not just at the grassroots level, but also know how to navigate the current power structures in the political realm here in Malaysia to form this credible party, right? Mm. It's one thing for, say, somebody of Tun Dr. Mahathir's stature to start up Pribumi, but then can KJ, Rafizi Ramli, Nurul Izzah garner the same kind of support and have the same kind of clout in Putrajaya?
Yeah, but it could be, perhaps they could look into a new way of getting funding, maybe crowdsourcing.
Crowdfunding.
Who knows,
what, another Tabung Harapan? Oh, man.
The new way, because they're young, right? Yeah. So go use the Industry 4.0 way. Who knows, right? But, you know, Han, do you think sometimes Malaysians were too into conspiracy theories? You know, they're out having coffee in Alexis BSC. Could that just be coffee and cake? Must there be something more to it, you know?
Well, yeah, look, I mean, but it's fun to talk about. But, yeah, I mean, okay, on a more serious note, right? Obviously, you know, this conversation comes on the back of Nurul Izzah's
shocking resignation,
her perceived frustrations with Pakatan. We also see Kari Jamaluddin making a public show of his frustrations with the current leadership in UMNO, and likewise Rafizi Ramli as well, you know, saying that he wants to remain outside and so that he can have the independent voice and then criticize the government of the day. And I think that appears to be a common thread, you know, where you got these three individuals, young individuals, who are, you know, wanting to make sure that they hold on to those ideals as much as they can, as opposed to like seeing how reality has diluted the ideals, at least when it comes to the reform agenda, right? And I think that's reason enough perhaps,
to start a new party.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
You know, and
I mean, it's one way to try and rectify what's going on out there, right?
Yeah, and it could be an old guard, new guard thing. And it happens in the corporate world as well. You know, you have fresh young blood and, you know, wanting to make changes. And sometimes it's the old guards who do not want to change and still wanting to hold to the seat of power and not giving the young ones a chance to shine.
Yeah, well, you got Rubbish All Day at Rubbish All Day saying that, you know, well, Rafizi and Nurul, they are reformers here through and through, but, you know, this person says that, well, KJ was perhaps part of perpetuating those 1MDB lies. No, he's just looking to stay alive. But anyways, you can be part of this conversation. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Perhaps, I guess this is safe to say of Rafizi, Nurul Iza and KJ, they still haven't found what they're looking for. That's the title of the track by U2, taking us up to the 7 a.m. News Bulletin right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.